to be back tonight and see everyone. And I've been missing you. I've been missing seeing everybody. And I know, I guess we've been here on Wednesday nights, but not on Sundays. And I've missed that. That's been an awkward feeling for me. But Brandy wanted me to relay to the church also. We appreciate your understanding. It just seems like everything kind of fell there at the same time. But so thankful to be back. And let me read this before I get started tonight. We have, I guess, an announcement to make here of a shower coming up here. And it says here, a sweet little girl is on the way. And it says, join us for a baby sprinkle in honor of Elizabeth Hayes. And that's going to be on Saturday, September 28th at 2 p.m. Saturday, September 28th at 2 p.m. So I wanted to read that tonight and share that with you so you would know about it. But church, it's just good to be here tonight. It really is. I tell you, the midweek service, I'm thankful for it, and thinking a lot this week on just meditating on the Lord, trying to, but in just maybe a different way. Sometimes you feel like you're not doing enough, but you know, the Lord, he just wants to have a relationship with us and be with us. You know, I can't express that enough in the studies, and the lesson tonight, I hope, will kind of bring that out. I just want to love him tonight, just to be honest with you. If I just put it in just a few words, just express my love to the Lord, how good he's been to me and how he's seen me through so many different things, just so many different things. And he's not about to stop now. He's going to see it through the things to come, and he lead us and guide us if we're willing to follow him and trust him. But if you will, let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 16. Just want to look at one verse here tonight, maybe go a couple other places. Looking primarily maybe at two different words, two of the words here, trust and happy, that's going to be found in this verse here. And you can see kind of how they're tied together. Proverbs 16, verse number 20. And the verse starts out with saying, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, just trying to be as thankful as we know how, God, and as trusting as we know how to be, Lord, with the abilities that we have. And I know sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't understand things or trying to figure things out, Lord. But I'm just so thankful for your word, God, how it answers things for us, how it will guide us, God, if we're willing to follow it and really just meditate on some things, God. It doesn't have to be something just so big or so hard or so complex, God, but sometimes just focusing on the simple things that you've given to us, the relationship that you'd like to have with us, God. And I just think sometimes maybe that it's talked about a lot but not experienced much at all sometimes, God, but it's important that we experience that. We experience this relationship with you, Lord, the way that you'd have us to, that, Lord, we would follow your plan for our lives, and we would see, Lord, maybe what that would be to its fullest, God, that we'd get ourselves out of the way, be willing to trust you, be willing to follow you, God, and see what you have for us, God. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us, for myself, my family, your provision, for our church, God, each and every member. God, we thank you so much for them, those who listen online. God, we don't want to leave anybody out, but God, we're just praying for those tonight that can't be here also. But God, we just want to just dedicate this service to you, God, and just give you the praise that's due you. And Lord, we love you. God, I love you tonight, and I thank you so much for all that you do for me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. It's kind of interesting to think about this, and I was going to try to use maybe a different illustration without talking about relationships, but it's kind of hard not to use natural illustrations, because many times that's what the Bible gives so you and I could understand it. So we'd have a better understanding if it was on the spiritual plane where God is at. There's a lot of this that we would just never get to understand. But the Bible puts it in different terms or terminology, And it helps us to see and understand what these relationships are like. And I know it's a different and a more deepened relationship that we can have with the Lord than what we can have with one another. But I think you'll see some parallels that kind of go along with that. And just for a few minutes, I want to preach, teach on the topic, talk about the topic of mutual attachment. Mutual attachment. You'll see by way of definition by the time we get through with this where I came up with the title. But having a mutual attachment, and that is related to friendship. And you'll see that soon in the definition. But I thinking about illustration, I was talking to a preacher friend this morning about it and trying the best way to explain it. And it's something else how we can have a relationship with the Lord and maybe not fully understand things. And the best way that I could explain it maybe is a relationship that relationships that I've had or experienced that way. And I look at it like this. There's times that maybe before getting married, what have you, you know, if you're trying to date or what have you, I want to reach all the groups in the church. There's still some daters out there and what have you in the church. And I just remember a time, it's like sometimes you're dating, you're like, well, I wonder how much this person likes me. Does this person like me as much as I like them? And you know how it is on the front end, people get googly and goggly and all that kind of stuff. And you see it on campus a whole lot, and you know, first weekend people are holding hands, and we have running jokes about that. It's just kind of funny how that can be. But you know, sometimes maybe if you've experienced this, maybe if you were dating somebody and you think, well, my goodness, what if I like this person more than what they like me? Am I setting myself up for failure? Is this going to hurt? And maybe also if it's on the other side, well, I don't know, maybe this person seemingly likes me more than I like them. That's not a mutual attachment. It's not together equally as it should be. And you know, that's kind of dangerous when it gets like that. Or maybe you've experienced it. And if you're married, I hope you can say that you've experienced it where it's a mutual attachment where you kind of just fell in love together at the same time. And you found a way to grow together. You found a way to learn more about one another and have that mutual attachment to one another. And you see, that's what the Lord wants to have with us, a mutual attachment. I want you to think about that and how unseemingly that seems possible, but He wants to have that relationship with us. I know that God is far beyond us, far above us, far beyond our comprehension and understanding, but you know He still loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. Isn't that amazing? I say amen right there. There's times when it's dark and dreary, it seems like, in life, and He comes right along beside of me, and He hugs me up, takes care of me. I'm like, Lord, thank You. I needed that. That means, Brother Dale, He's wanting to have a relationship with us. It's something that we can obtain. I know we place God rightfully or should in a plane that we can't obtain or get to, but you know, He's made it possible through Jesus Christ that we can. We can approach the throne boldly. It's what the Bible teaches us. He's made a way that we can have a relationship with Him. You know, and looking at it sometimes too, I was thinking about relationships. You don't know what another person is like. You're getting to know somebody. You don't really know them. And you're trying to understand things. But did you know that the Lord knew what He was getting when He chose you? Think about that. He knew. Sometimes we can say in our life, gosh, I didn't know it was going to be like that. I didn't know this person was like that, whatever. Didn't know what I was getting into. Do you know the Lord knows? He knew. He knew before the foundation of the earth. He knew. He knew when He created you what He expected, what He hoped. That mutual attachment that He wanted to have. Now, I find it very interesting here. I'll try not to be too lengthy tonight, but it talks about, he starts out, and you know how Proverbs is. It covers a lot of ground. Sometimes in few words, sometimes it compares and contrasts, sometimes it goes right along together. And this is talking about how to handle a matter wisely at the very beginning. It says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Now I think that talks a little bit about being patient for things, being wise, slowing down and let the Lord do His work versus us trying to jump in there and do it ourselves. Brother Dale, Sister Betty was talking about that. You know how we were talking about it before church. Sometimes we get impatient, and I think we all know that. And it's like, oh, Lord, just let me do it. If you're not going to do it fast enough, just let me do it. Let me show you how to do it. You know, it's like that in the workplace sometimes. You get impatient with somebody, maybe trying to teach them something or show them something. No, do it like this. You know, it's like that. But you know, you'll never be wiser than letting the Lord handle your affairs. Now, sometimes that might feel awkward. Sometimes you might feel like you're not doing anything. But if it's in the Lord's will, He has a way of making it happen. He has a way of bringing it to be. And I tell you, that's the wisest thing that you and I can do. Young couples, young people, think about this in your life. Being able to just slow down and let the Lord handle things for us. But it comes down to being able to trust Him with it. What relationship would you have with anybody if there was no trust in that relationship? I'll be honest with you, when I'm in a position like that, or if I found somebody that I have a hard time trusting, I really kind of keep them out here. That way I can kind of don't let them in, don't let them in to hurt me or something like that, or cause me harm or something like that. But you know, we should not keep the Lord out here like that. We need to let Him in. And it takes trust. That relationship even takes trust. Relationship with when you're dating, relationship when you're getting married, and relationships that further on, years into marriage, it absolutely takes trust. You would not have much, if any, of a relationship at all without trust. Would you not say that's a key component? Even if you loved somebody, Brother Bill, even if you loved them and wanted to trust them but didn't trust them, would that not hinder the relationship? Kind of hold things back. That's hard. It's hard to think about that. When you think about mutually falling in love, one falling faster than the other, what have you. But you know, you need to think about how it is with the Lord. He knew what He was getting. I'll tell you, the day I got saved, I didn't know what all I was getting with Him. I didn't know that. Wouldn't you like to love Him tonight as much as He loves you? Meditate on that. Think about all He's done for you. And think about one that's worthy of our trust. And that's not worthy enough, that He is absolutely worthy enough to have all of our trust. But that goes on to say here, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And I like that part of it, but it goes a little bit deeper. And it goes into who is actually handling the matter. I believe here, if you read this, if you'll think about it, sometimes maybe I've looked at things wanting it to be a certain way or thinking it should work out a certain way, but by the time God had put His hands on it and fixed it and worked it out the way He wanted it, it ended up being a much better deal than what I thought it was going to be. It's because He had His way and He put His hand on it. He did it His way. And it goes on to say here, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. How many of you want to be happy tonight? I want to be happy. Hear a lot of bad news, hard news. You look at even the rainy weather sometimes, that's concerning. You look at the political climate, you look at the national and the world climate sometimes, that's enough to make you not happy. But the Bible doesn't give a contingency on what's going on in the world to be happy or not. It gives a contingency on one thing, trusting the Lord. If you're not happy, think about this. If you're not happy tonight, I think it could come back, you could trace it all the way back to one thing. You're not trusting the Lord like you should be. I'm not trusting the Lord like I should be. Different little things throughout life, throughout things that we're working on, going through, and you're trying to figure out why even this little thing is not just working out as fast or the way you think it should, and then you kind of start losing trust if you're not careful, and you're not happy, and if you're not happy, you start getting anxious. And that's not where the Lord wants us to be. But the word happy, if you look at it, that means lucky, that means fortunate, that means successful. And it talks about here, there's a long definition to it. It says being in the enjoyment of agreement, from the possession of some good, enjoying the pleasure of certain things that you've wanted to see happen, those things coming together. But something I thought was very interesting about seeing this definition, and it was in the Noah Webster 1828, it is in the dictionary, and it says, these things are temporary. Happiness is temporary. The things that we find happiness in on this earth is temporary. And then it goes on to say here, but he can only be esteemed really and permanently happy who enjoys peace of mind in the favor of God. Now, I thought that was very nice for that to be found in a dictionary. See, if you want permanent happiness, you're going to have to find permanent happiness in the Lord and peace with Him. relationship that you can have with Him, that trusting relationship that you can have with the Lord. If you want to be happy, you have to learn how to trust Him more. Let's just keep it simple. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't. But I can tell you what the Bible says about it. And I tell you, when I say that, when Jason faces things, then I have to follow the same medicine. I have to follow the same scripture. It's good for you and it's good for me. If I want to be happy, I have to trust Him more. I have to say, Lord, I don't know why it's like this, but I trust You anyway. And that's going to make me happy. That's going to keep me happy because I know I can trust You and I know You won't hurt me. Isn't that amazing? The Lord's not out here to hurt any of us. I think sometimes we place Him on a plane sometimes that's just so high, which He is. We place Him as a judge, but we sometimes don't see Him as the loving Father that He is. We see Him as a judge just waiting to hammer down, put the gavel down on us. That's not the relationship I want to have with my Father. That's not what I want. I want a loving, trusting relationship. You see the word trust, it means confidence and a reliance or resting of the mind in the integrity, the veracity, the justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. So you're putting a lot in another person when you're talking about trust. You think about your own self, your own heart, and how can you trust it? The Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who can trust it? I think sometimes on the inside we think that we can judge by our intentions over our actions, but we only judge others by their actions. See, that's what we see on the outside. But see, God, the righteous judge that He is, He sees the heart, He sees what's on the inside of all of us. He knows our intentions, even when it comes out misunderstood or what have you, then the Lord actually sees that and He knows that. But I wanted to look at these words that are found in the definition of trust. It talks about integrity. That first word that comes out there, that's the wholeness. That's the entireness, the unbroken state. That is purity. You see that a lot. Believe it or not, that word integrity, you do see it in the Word of God in several places. But you see it a lot in the book of Job and the book of Psalms. Brother Tim, I thought that was interesting because you're talking about relationships and probably one of the books of the Bible that outlines a specific relationship. It's the book of Job. The back and forth, the dialogue that he had between he and God and then also he and his friends, the other ones. You can see the intention versus the action in that book also, but you see how that comes together. Well, you see here the Lord, when you look at this one verse, I just want to read one here, Job 2:3. And this is a very crucial verse here in this book. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And look at this. "And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Even though these things were going to happen to him, Job decided, Job's relationship with God is, I'm still going to trust him. Regardless how bad my life is or the circumstance in my life is, I still trust him. Now that's not an easy thing to do. You can say, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? But integrity is a very important thing. When you're talking about being whole, when you're being entire in an unbroken state, how many Christians today look kind of broken up? Think about it. People dealing with things. And again, I'm not saying life is easy and we stick our head in the sand and try to pretend like things don't bother us. Things do bother us. But the Lord has allowed us a way to be happy, and that's through trusting Him. Placing more trust in Him. In His integrity, His wholeness, His entireness, and His unbroken state, His purity. See, it's not that we're trying to hold on to things in and of herself, but it's holding on to who He is and how important He is. I did find this interesting. A lot of the times, a lot of the verses I read that showed the word integrity, it talked about the integrity of man, even more so than the integrity of God. I think that's a reflection of someone placing their trust in Him and holding their integrity or their faith in God Himself. And it also says veracity. Look at the word veracity. You probably don't see that a lot today. You wouldn't see it in that form. But if you look it up, it really means truth. It means the habitual observance of truth. That means holding truth high as it should be. It's an invariable expression of truth. You ever see somebody that's just so honest? They'll worry over the smallest thing. They'll say something. I meant to say it like this. I knew what you meant. But they're so concerned about telling you the truth, they'll tell you 10 times to make sure you got it right. They're observing truth. They're holding truth at a high standard. And truth is important. You and I should know that very well. John 8:32, and it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. I want you to think about this. Throughout His Word, does He ever conceal things from us? Or does He tell us the good and the bad? Does He tell us the truth? I think one of the tests that I find with people is if they're only telling me what I want to hear, love them, I love them, I appreciate that, but that's not always the truth. But people that will tell you the good along with the bad, that's the people most often that will tell you the truth. The Bible does that. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It doesn't say things are going to be easy and things are just going to be any old way to make people happy. It tells you the truth and the good and the bad so you can make a decision. I find a lot in that verse there that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The truth of the gospel. I'm thankful for that tonight. I appreciate that. And thankful for that. Also, it talks about justice. You could go on and on about the justice of God, which is the virtue which consists in giving to everyone that is His due. Well, you and I have justice coming to us. Think about that. In the court system, you see a lot of justice, bringing somebody to justice. Somebody's broken the law and they're going to go to trial and they're going to be brought to justice and certain penalty being placed upon them. And now you look at how the Lord Jesus, He took our place. He took our punishment. He took our judgment. So you and I could go free. That's not good justice, is it? It's good for our part. You think about what the Lord did. And again, you think about that. I want you to see, we're talking about having a relationship with the Lord. He knew what He was getting when He created you and me. Did you know what you were getting when you accepted Him? You look back over your relationship with Him. You look back over that and think about how He's come through for you in life and what He's done for you. Micah 6:8, it says, "He hath showed thee, O man." You go back and you look and you see here in this book how they were talking about the temple. We're talking about sacrifices and people were talking about the sacrifices that they were making to God. But this is Micah's response here. He said, "He hath showed thee, O man," he's talking to you and me, "what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee?" Well, he's asking the question, what does He require of thee? What does the Lord require of you and I tonight? And it says here, but to do justly, to do right, to follow what the Bible says. You think about, well, what's right, what's just? It's the ordinances or what the Bible gives us, what the Lord has shared with us through His Word. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. See, sometimes our pride, most often our pride won't let us do that. We get tired of waiting, we get impatient. And I think sometimes the world mocks at us. You look at it, you see it. I heard it, I was reading some commentary and listening this week, and bless their heart, a lot of people think that people, Christian people, are ignorant, unlearned. Bless their heart. They're putting faith in that God, that unseen person. I tell you, that's the trust that you and I need to have in this world right now. That's what's going to take us through. I tell you, it's not about getting even. It's not about getting over on somebody else. But one day when the Lord returns and they understand and realize that this book is true, what's the expression on their face going to be? You see, the Lord is asking us in this day and time, while we're waiting on His return, while we're waiting as we're living our life, is to have that faith as if it's just happened. Praise the Lord. That's trust. That's trust. Another thing here, talks about here, is friendship. I want you to think about this. Friendship. Think about friendships that you have, and maybe some closer relationships than others, but and a mutual attachment. This is where this definition really comes into play. Talking about friendship. Friendship is an attachment to a person proceeding from the intimate acquaintance and a reciprocation of kind offices, or from a favorable opinion of an amiable and respectable qualities of his mind. That's a big definition, isn't it? But you see that little word there, some intimate acquaintanceship into a reciprocation of kind offices. You know what reciprocation means? If somebody does something nice for me, nice to me, I can reciprocate Brother Allen by doing something nice for them. That's reciprocation. You know, now there's a lot of acquaintanceships that we have. You know, somebody can ask you, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know them. Do you really know them? Or you know their name. You know of them. But you see, when you start talking about having a friendship, a relationship, you're talking about having a mutual attachment with somebody, that goes a lot deeper than an acquaintanceship. Sadly, I believe, I'm just going to be honest with you, church, I believe the majority of Christians living on this earth today have an acquaintanceship. That's it. It's kind of one foot in the door and one foot out the door. It's not a mutual attachment. It's just not. A lot of what you see today is a lot of talk, a lot of kind of in and out. I'm kind of waiting to see what happens. And when something bad happens, a lot of times certain people, they just fall apart because there's no trusting. There's no mutual attachment. And so I want to know what I'm getting into before I get attached to it. Jesus knew. He knew. He said, I'm willing to go to this cross, suffer this punishment, die this death, just so I could be friends with you, just for the opportunity. Not that everybody would choose him, because they're not. Not everybody chooses him, and he went to the cross anyway. You think about this reciprocation. You think about the kindness that the Lord has given to you, and what he's given to me. Do we reciprocate that back to him in any form at all? Any form at all. Are we just satisfied? I'll get what I get out of the relationship, the friendship, and I'm not going to give more or anything like that. I'll just kind of get what I get and go from there. The Lord gave it all. Think about that tonight. You know, this is our opportunity, living here on this earth. This is our opportunity. One day, Christians, our faith, even lost person, our faith is going to end in sight. We're going to see it. Every single one of us. You'll either be in that mutual friendship with him or not. And I tell you, I want my relationship to be with him now what it should be before I get there. And I think if my relationship with him now is what it should be here, by the time I get there, there's going to be some celebrating over there. Can you imagine the Lord looking at you and saying, remember where I told you this in my word and I showed you this? Remember how you and I grew together and we started having a closer relationship together? You remember that? Is it true? Do you trust me now? Can you trust me now? Think about how important that is. We don't know when we get to see the Lord. It could be sooner rather than later. We don't know. We don't know. But there's no time like the present to have a mutual attachment with our Lord. I'll tell you that. There's nobody holding us back but ourselves. I tell you, I just want to say this. Church, I love him tonight. I'm excited about him. I'm excited about what he's doing. I'm excited about what he's doing in my life. Not that I deserve it. I don't. We none do. But he made it possible. Why would we not take advantage of that? Why would we not take advantage of all the things that he has for us? Think about being attached to the Lord. And as he was on that cross dying for us, that was the purpose. You and I were the purpose. That he could win a relationship with you and I. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. I hope and pray that will do something for you. Go back and read over that. Read over the definition. Go back and read over about being happy and what trust fully means. Look at those two and put them together. But I'm going to stop there tonight. Appreciate your really good attention. Again, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful that I know I'm saved and know where I'm going.